Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the last episode of 100% Canucks before Christmas. John Shannon, soon to be joined by Landon Ferraro. Our producer, Hugh McLarty, is at the helm on this Christmas show. And the Canucks coming off a successful five-game road trip, winning four, losing on Monday night in Philadelphia to a Flyer team led by Rick Tocchet. And let's face it, I think the reality is that the Flyers were a better team during the game. But the Canucks tried to keep it close. But then in the end, too much speed, too much power from the Flyers for the 5-2 victory on Monday night. Canucks come home now, play the next four of five games at Rogers Arena, including Saturday night against the San Jose Sharks. But first, a look back at the trade, where this team is, with Landon Ferraro on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Last show before Christmas, Landon. How would you think the Canucks are going to the break? And what would their attitude be at this point?
I think they're going into the break feeling pretty good about themselves. You know, like it was a tough, first part of the season there. And then they make the Quinn Hughes trade, and that's a hit to the dressing room as well. But then they rattle off four wins, and they lose last night, but they go 4-1 on a road trip, and like that was great, and not just getting through games, but like played really well and started to it looked like a team that was playing their system and were confident in it, and it was all starting to come together. So I think they're going in with a bit of happiness and, really looking forward to the couple days off and, get to be around some friends and family and reset a bit and come back with some optimism of if we play the way that we can, we'll be in games. We'll have a chance to get a win.
So let's talk about the three guys that have come onto the roster. And it's amazing to have three guys come out of the roster that are actually healthy. Yeah. when you think about it. So in no particular order, Zeev Bouyam, where what have you seen? What have you liked? What can he work on?
Well, I really like him so far. I really enjoyed watching him in Minnesota, how he moves around with the puck, and his skating ability is obviously high, and I think he's done pretty well in his first few games here. He gets lucky the first game with his goal and all of that, but he's been moving the puck well. The power play's moving around pretty decent, and I think the part where I'm most impressed is his ability in the defensive zone. I think he's done a pretty good job, and you know, he's not an overly physical player, but at the same time, like, he does a good job of closing and finishing and being able to hold the guy for that second to buy a bit of time, and he handles different parts of the game well. So, you know, I think he's had a good start. I believe that he'll keep getting a decent amount better pretty quickly. You know, I think he's a young guy that just got traded in his first year in the league, and for how he likes to play, like, he likes to have puck possession, he likes to make plays, but right now I feel like he's moving it pretty quickly and kind of trying to distribute more than he normally would, because he's got a bunch of new teammates and he doesn't want them to think that he's a bit of a puck hog and all that. So I think as he gets more comfortable, he'll keep excelling and keep growing. You know, Ogren came over, he didn't have a point this season, and in the first games here, like, he's got himself around the net. He's a really good forechecker. You know, last night's game with him playing with Carlson and Sassone, you know, like, Sassone's goal, like, that was a perfectly executed forecheck, right? Like, Ogren gets in, mm-hmm. he's F1. Yep. He needs to hit the defenseman and pin them and wait for your support to come in. He does that really well. Carlson gets beat a little bit, but he gets his first two steps are good and he finishes extremely well, and they make a nice play out and they score. So, you know, he's had a couple goals now, and, you know, that shootout move was beautiful. And so, like, he's off to a really good start here. Rossi, I think, has been okay. You know, I think it's taking him a bit longer, because he is a guy that reads off of his line mates so well and just needs to get a bit more comfortable, right? Like, all these three guys are all young and have never been traded before. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So you ask about Christmas break. I think the break will be really good for Rossi and the other two, just to be able to kind of exhale and sit down and really take in where they're at now and come out of the break fresh.
Ogren's the one that has, I think, impressed me not the most, because Bouillon is the real deal.
It was like surprised impressed, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ogren had, because I was almost on the verge of suggesting that maybe he goes to Abbotsford. You know, he's a contract that can move up and down easily. And so from that perspective, if you need roster space, but I'll tell you what, the offensive side of his game is much better than I think a lot of people expected. He does have a great shot. He's a lot, in my mind, he's a lot bigger than I think a lot of people expected him to be. So to me, he's a bit of the bright light in all of this when you consider what the trade was all about. The other thing about what has happened is around these three guys. Like, I see Filip Ronek playing a dominant defenseman's position now.
Don't you? Sorry to cut you off, but I without even really naming the time of the game yesterday, but he took a puck from the top of the point, and before you knew it, he was behind the net. And, like, he was looking for the play, and he looked engaged, and he made a nice move. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw Filip Ronek, like, carry a puck in the offensive zone. Because as soon as it touched his stick, it went as hard as it could across the blue line to Quinn Hughes. Like, exactly what you're saying. Like, guys are starting to, like, they have to do more and show more of their attributes to get something done, because they can't just throw it to number 40.
Yeah, there's no deferring anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at this, like, look at this road trip. 24:57, 24:05, 24:11, 27:41 in Boston, and 22:09 in Philadelphia. You know, that to me, that is, it's not a coming of age scenario, but it's to me, it's letting this guy now become, in theory, at this point, the number one defenseman on the team.
And, yeah, they took the reins off him.
And, right, and it appears to me that he's accepting that mantle. That yes, this is what I expected when I got traded from Detroit. And so to me, the story of the three guys coming to the club is, I think, all positive. But I think what Philip Roenick has done to me is almost as revealing as anything else that we've seen in the five games since the trade, don't you?
No, I really do. And I'd take it a step farther and say, even like, look how it opened up the young forwards, like yeah. what they've done since Quinn Hughes got moved out. And again, like, not saying it like it was Quinn Hughes' fault that the guys weren't doing better while he was here. My point, though, is you have young players on a team that's not doing well, and you have one of the best players in the game on your roster that wants the puck. Mm-hmm. Every time those guys got the puck, it was like they instantly made the pass to Quinn or were trying to find him. They'd turn up to try and find him late because they just wanted to get it in his hands. Like, you take it. I don't want to deal with it. And now that he's not there, just like much like Hronek, the young guys are the same thing. Like, they're making plays. They're holding on to pucks a bit more. Like, it looks like they feel more free on the ice, that they're not going to let someone down if they don't get them the puck. They're just playing, and it's looking much better.
And the other thing is that this does speak to making this trade now as opposed to waiting. Because I think that people who have watched this team for the last 3 or 4 weeks have seen Quinn's up and downs. And if we can see it from the TV screen or we can see it from the press box, you don't think teammates can see it too? Of course they can. So yeah. From that perspective, and I think this is something this administration learned with all the crap that went on last year with Miller and Pettersson, they knew they had to get it done quickly. They knew they had to fix it in order to try to resurrect anything of this season. Now, I'm not sure that they have done that, quite frankly. But at the same time, you do get a sense, to your point, they feel a heck of a lot better now than they did, you know, days before the trade, days before this road trip, where people were lamenting, "Oh my goodness gracious, we're 5 games under 500. We're going to be 10 before this is over, before Christmas comes." So this just needed to happen. And I talked to somebody, not with the hockey club, but who has close ties to some of the players. And they did say, yeah, it was becoming an issue. It was becoming a problem. And so to get that albatross off your neck is a valid thing to do at this time. That's not a criticism of Quinn Hughes, because people are human. People have emotions. But it was best for the hockey club at this point to get it done. I think that that's something that this group can go to the holiday break and say, yep, you know what, I feel much better about things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a good point on Hughes. Like, you know, we all saw his ups and downs through the TV, meaning like watching right. him play, interviews, all that stuff.
Well, that shift in Denver, the shift in Denver where he was, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse. He's not a Canuck anymore, but.
No, but my point is of just kind of closing that tie is you're right. Like, he is human. And I'd imagine like just being around Quinn enough and hearing how he talks and how much he cared about this mm-hmm. team. I would imagine it was really, really hard for him from the moment that he told management that, hey, this isn't what I want anymore. I'd like to move on. But he's still the captain. And in the back of his head, he knows or is thinking, like, I didn't accomplish what I thought I was going to be able to do here. And I imagine that would sit hard for him. And then he has to go into the room every single day to see his teammates and friends, knowing that he's already said he's not coming back, right? Like, it's a really, and that's not making an excuse for, but it's just some context. And you understand, like, no one's perfect. He was doing his best, but it was showing through. And, you know, numerous people from inside the locker room have said in interviews that, yeah, you could feel it. And it was starting to creep in more and more. So that was important. But, you know, like it's why being a GM and being in management is one of the hardest jobs in sports, because, OK, so they make that trade and they did a great job with it. Well, now they move on to the next issue or the next thing on the agenda. And that's, how are we getting the more, like the young guys, more ice time, more opportunity? We're going to have Pettersson and Hoglander that aren't in the lineup coming back in, right? Like, well, that's two more forwards coming out. Are you taking Ogren out? I would assume not. Are you taking Carlson out? I would hope not. How about Sasson? Like, it's all of that. So, like, it's on to the next part of the agenda, and that's, are you going to make that next move more quickly out of the roster freeze of Christmas break to open up space and continue down the path of letting the young guys play and figuring it out?
I would suspect at this point that the number one agenda item would be Kiefer Sherwood, though, wouldn't you? At this point,
yep.
You know, I mean,
it's the most straightforward of the moves they could make.
Well, and here's the deal: this also could mean sign him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this team always surprises you every once in a while, and yeah. We've all talked about how, you know, he's in a scenario where, you know, if he wants $5 million a year, and I'm just throwing that number out, but he also wants long-term security, five, 6 years. That's not the model I think that this organization is trying to do in having players play when they're 35 or 36 years old. So, but at the same time, you watch him play and nobody plays harder.
Yeah, no, he's, again, having a fantastic season and showing what he's worth. And, you know, when he came to Vancouver, he really made it known that he had more to his game than what he'd been able to show thus far in his career. And everyone said he had a bit of, you know, he had a bit more scoring that he showed. And I remember watching some of his highlights after he got here. And there was one of them that was a 2-on-1. The pass comes across like between the tops of the circles and the blue line. And he absolutely pumped a one timer. And you're looking at that and you're like, clearly there is a bit more skill there, because it, like, you don't mistake that goal. Like, it just doesn't happen. And he's done phenomenal. My assumption here, though, is that the Canucks are looking around and seeing some of the returns for guys that have just been traded, like a Philip Deneau, Mason Marchment.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're looking at those. Sherwood provides more than those two. And those were two pretty good returns. So I imagine they're looking at Sherwood, and it's whether they wanted to keep him or not, or want to keep him or not. I feel like they're going to look at the returns that are happening right now and see that it's too good of an opportunity to get a really good piece back.
By the way, I would love to see him stay.
Oh, I don't want to not watch him. Right. Like, I love watching him in the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a number of their players. And that's why when you get to this point and you're talking rebuild and kind of doing these things, it's hard, because it's, as you're talking about different players that could get traded. Yeah. It's like, okay, if it's a Connor Garland, throw that out. I don't want to see Connor Garland on another team. Like, no. I love watching Garland in the corners and how he competes and his tight turns and his nose for the net. Like, that's entertaining hockey. But when the team goes the way that it has, these are the uncomfortable conversations that start.
Well, and the other thing is, if everybody sits talking about rebuild, 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 you know, tear it down, there's no guarantee that the rebuild works.
No, you know, you got to make sure you get your draft picks well, but...
But you also have to make sure that you do it in years where there are good draft picks available.
Yep.
You know, dare I remind people that if you follow the Edmonton Oilers, You know, there was a draft, Taylor Hall, Neil Yakupov.
Yeah.
You know, because they had the first pick overall, did not guarantee them, you know, a playoff future.
Yep.
You know, and people can say, well, Taylor Hall was a good player. Taylor Hall was not as good a player as everybody makes him out to be, certainly in his time in Edmonton.
Yep.
He got a lot of freedom because people said, well, he was the first overall pick. And by the way, they gave Taylor Hall a lot more breaks than they gave Neil Yakupov. And, you know, that's another
more
story.
More rightfully for, so on that one, though.
Yeah, but another story for another day. Really. So the rebuild stuff is you're right, is a fascinating conversation. But do you want to go through four years of pain, four more years of pain? And everybody's going to say, well, we're going through pain now. Well, you know, not necessarily. You know, if they can do this on the fly, if they can find a way to change things around and get some valuable playing assets, not draft assets, playing assets, then perhaps they're closer than some people think. And there's going to be people that are going to tell us that we're full of it. But that's, you know, that's the real dilemma that you talked about. How close are you? How close can you get? Or do we want to endure 4 or 5 years of pain? I would suggest that this ownership group doesn't want to endure 4 or 5 years out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and the ownership side, that's a different story. But like I really do think that if there was a time to commit to this and, you know, management, like that's their idea, like this is what we're doing. Like this is the time to capitalize on it in this city, because this fan base, like honestly, has been asking for this for a number of years and at different times. And
they weren't asking for it 2 years ago when they took the Edmonton Oilers to game 7.
Yeah, but that's part of the problem, and that's always going to be the argument from the fan side to anyone that presents that is, yes, we had a good run then. We got to the Stanley Cup final years before that. Like, it's a lot of not very good or decent teams mixed in with, like, a one-year pop of, call it, playoff success.
Yeah.
Right? So, but it's never sustained. Like, they don't want the Band-Aid. Like, they just want to see it. And there's a difference of watching a team and being told they're expected to win and really compete for the playoffs and then see what happens. And when that team's losing, how much more quickly frustration comes out. But if you finally turn that page and commit to it, well, now you're watching young players. Whether they win or lose is almost irrelevant at that point. You care about watching effort and growth in the young players. And that's where the hope comes from. And for a fan base that has been wanting it for so long, like I think they would really be okay with that. It's more on the ownership side because, again, they've wanted this a long time. And I think you could easily capitalize on the position of the market right now to commit to it full time, because they might actually be behind you.
It's an interesting thought. You know, it's one that I'm sure that those discussions have already taken place to an extent, and will continue to take place until the next trade or the trade after that, where, you know, there are some assets that are going to change and dictate whether it's somebody who's going to play for the team now or somebody who's going to play for the team in 3 years after they're drafted. It truly is almost a watershed moment.
It really is. Like this is going to turn the franchise in a direction that you've really got to stick to and commit to.
So in the meantime, and I put this question to Patrick Alvin on last Monday after the trade, and they were 2-0 on the road trip. What the heck goes on at home? I mean, this team has won 4 games at home. They've won 11 games on the road. If they had, and I actually have done the math three times on this one today just because I want to make sure I'm right. If they had the same home record as they have road record, they'd be leading the Pacific Division. and it sounds ludicrous to think that because nobody has that. But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. You know, the Canucks are 11-8-2 on the road, and they're 4-10-1 at home.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other team like that in this league is the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
They're 5-10-3 at home. So they're and 13-6 on the road. So there's no logic to it.
Yeah. I feel like if I had a legit answer for you, John, I'd be winning a Jack Adams. Right,
but that means you get fired within 12 months. So it's already that's what happens.
Yeah, but I take a good payday first, though. I'd be okay with that. It's crazy how it can be that different. And you know, I've played on teams where we couldn't win on the road or we couldn't win at home, and we're winning on vice versa. And you're sitting there and you're having meetings and you're going through it, and to the point where I've had a coach try to simulate being on the road and we got to stay in a hotel home the night before and like doing all that. And to be honest, none of it worked. And
home ice advantage.
I know. And it makes it makes no sense. Like I remember at different points, like sitting in the dressing room before games and it kind of pops into your head. And that's, technically, like really realistically, that's the first reason that things might not go your ways, because you're already thinking about it. It gets in your head a bit, but I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, everything feels exactly the same as when we're on the road. I got to the rink, I'd grab a coffee, I'd tape my sticks, I'd go stretch and start warming up, I'd play soccer, I'd come back in, tie my skates, I'd do a half a Sudoku or so, depending how smart I was that day. And then I put the rest of my gear on and everything felt exactly the same. And then you get on the ice and your team plays a completely different style almost. Like if you're a good forechecking team, all of a sudden you're like, no one's dumping the puck and we're not using what we're good at. But it's nothing, like you try and go through it, but you can't figure it out. And then one day it just switches for the teams that it does, or it doesn't figure out. But then you get, say they go on a 5-game winning streak at home, they're going to get asked the question, like, what have you changed? Because, you've turned it around. And other than just cliches being thrown out, the real answer would be, I have no idea what changed. It's just working now. And I feel like that's such a cop-out of an answer, but like that's kind of the best answer I can give right now, because it does make no sense. And it made no sense when I was in the room.
It doesn't make any sense at all. By the way, just as a curiosity, this homestand, so starts on Saturday with San Jose. and then they got the trip to Seattle for one off, and then they got Philly, Seattle again, Boston, before they go on the road again. So they got four or five at home. What do you expect out of the fan reaction to Rick Tocchet being in the arena on the 30th? Because I actually thought last night, it was funny. I don't know why. Like there was nothing to it last night in Philly. That Rick Tocchet was just another coach last night against the Canucks.
Yeah. I think it's just so different when that coach comes back to the city, right? Like when it's in the new city, especially because it's out on the east, like it just feels so far removed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know about you, but after last season and how the start of this year is gone, Rick Tocchet feels like it was 3.5 years ago
that he was in Vancouver, right?
Like it feels so separated from recent memory. So that might downplay it a bit. I don't know. Like, I imagine he's going to get cheers, like a good applause. But at the same time, he left, and some people in this city aren't happy about that. Because at the end of the day, like, he did technically choose to go somewhere else. And he had good reasons, and and all of that's fair, and it's fully within his right to make that decision, and you know, good on him for it. But this city, for the most part, loved what he did with the team, but there is a good portion that, well, didn't like his more defensive style and felt like he kind of handcuffed some of the players. And then obviously with him leaving, they weren't very happy. So I think it'll be a bit of mixed reaction, but I think it'll be mostly positive. And again, it's the Canucks are a very different team, even from last year's Rick Tocchet team. And this is going to be the first time, first home stretch that everyone's going to get to see the new players. And like, there's going to be more excitement and focus on different parts.
It's going to be fascinating. It really is. And you're right about, you know, get some home games, you know, and try to take advantage of something at home. Although, you know, there's nothing that tells you that's actually going to happen.
Well, but one more thing to add into that home discussion that could help is the fact that they have a healthy Thatcher Demko that's going to be playing at home. He's been playing very good hockey, and you know, so like that's already a very different look than what they've had for the most part.
You know what I saw the other night in Boston?
What's that?
I saw Thatcher Demko smile.
Wild, eh?
I did. It was amazing. After the game, and Lankanen won the
happy hugs.
I saw it, and I didn't recognize it. I'm not trying to be cheeky or anything, but
he's a game face guy.
Oh, he's a game face guy. Yeah. Yep. No, I when we get him on the show, I'm going to ask him. I said, I saw you smile the other day. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, it doesn't matter. You get into a happy hug after a win or a goal, it's impossible not to have a smile on your face.
Well, you know what? And that's the one thing, and the one thing that has occurred with this organization in these last 10 days is there been a heck of a lot more smiles
a lot more joking around in interviews. The clips you see from practice, they're yelling at each other and like in a fun way and kind of ribbing on each other. Like, it's a couple wins. It's like the old book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Like, it's just a couple wins. You just feel good. You feel like you're doing your job. And it doesn't matter if you're bagging groceries or playing in the NHL. You go in and you do a solid day of work. You feel good about yourself. And then you get to do that with your buddies. It just amplifies it all that much more.
Well, it will be fascinating, and it all begins again for the Canucks on Saturday night when they host Macklin Celebrini, kid from the North Shore, and the San Jose Sharks. And we'll be days from finding out whether Celebrini is going to be on the Olympic team. I think he's going to be on the Olympic team.
Yeah, I think he's almost at a lock here.
Whoa.
In my eyes, I don't know how he does not make that team. You can have debates about the other two young kids for sure, but Celebrini, I don't know how he's not there.
Well, if Bedard didn't get hurt, I think we'd be saying both of them.
And I think Bedard getting hurt gave Canada a bit of an out.
You're right.
Yeah, to not have to take all the young kids, it's a easier excuse to go with a more veteran player now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong. Okay, so what's Christmas like around the Ferraro household?
Endless amounts of food. Today's the 23rd. I've had two holiday meals already, and I got another two coming at me, and I've got my son's second birthday tomorrow, Christmas Eve. So that means
he's a Christmas Eve baby?
He's a Christmas Eve baby. So that means birthday cake on top of it. So endless food.
See, now when he gets to be a teenager, the question will be, is he mad that he's a Christmas baby, or is it a good thing? Because you, in the end, you don't get two sets of presents.
No. Oh, God, no. Well, he doesn't at the start either. He doesn't know that it's two separate days. He gets what?
No. I mean, when he's a teenager, I'm sure. Yeah. When he's later, when he's
no, older. He's going to be disappointed because it's great for the parents and family because every birthday, well, you're stuck with us. It's holiday meal and it's your birthday meal. He's going to want to be going out and doing something with his friends, but you're stuck with me. So great for us, brutal for him.
All right. So you've had two meals already and turkey, both of them?
Turkey and ham.
Both. No fish? No fish?
No, we've never been a fish.
Your name's now, Ferraro.
Yeah, well, I'll get to it. That's where I'll bring that in. But with my wife's side, and then, you know, I go off my mom's side, my dad's side, and then we do one with my friends. It's turkey and ham generally at all of them. But Christmas Eve dinner with my dad's side has always been gnocchi. So that with a good bolognese, and like that's where we have the Italian. And the tough part for me is like turkey, I can take it or leave it. Ham, I'm all over it, but I'll throw all that stuff out in 2 seconds if I could just have a vat of gnocchi with, especially we go to La Terrazza in town here in Vancouver.
You go out for Christmas Eve dinner?
Well, we go pick it up and bring it back. So okay. Gennaro's the owner. His family's originally from Trail as well. So he looks after us pretty good. And he has the best bolognese you'll have in North America. It's unbelievable.
Tell you what, you keep this up there. We should get them to sponsor this darn thing. That's
what I'm looking for. But sadly for you, I won't ask for money. I'm just asking for bowls.
Free gnocchi.
That's all I want.
Oh, that's great. And so now your son's two.
Yeah.
Has he got a feel for Christmas yet, or is it still too young?
Loves yelling Santa Claus, and it's really, really cool at my dad's place at the fireplace. They don't even have space to put my dad and Cammy's stockings up because there's all the kids and now grandkids. So there's 9 of us, my brother and his wife and 2 kids, and then my wife and my son, and then my 2 younger brothers, and my 2-year-old can run through all the names. So he knows them off with like the little train or the dog on there. So it's been a ton of fun getting to do all that, but hated his Santa picture. Lost it for his 2nd year in a row.
No, he did.
Yeah, not a fan. But to tie it all back to hockey, guess what I got to do 2 days ago?
Okay, I give.
First time Luca put the skates on.
No.
Yeah, just in the house. And I was really impressed. His ankles were holding pretty good. And then he had them on for like an hour. He would not take them off. And then since then, I put him up in the cabinet and he keeps pointing up there asking for his hockey slippers.
So now, living where you live, is there an outdoor rink you can go to? Is there anything you can go to?
Yeah, down in North Van here, there's Lower Lonsdale, and they have like a little Christmas market down there. And in the summer, there's like the big kind of gathering area, and it's like a little skate park type thing. Yep. But in the winter, they freeze it over, so there's ice down there. So I think just in the new year, we'll probably get them down there and see how it goes.
Get Grandpa to do it. Grandpas are good at that.
Yeah, Grandpa doesn't even have skates anymore. Like, I'm not even joking. We were just talking about it the other day. He's put his gear on, other than coming out and training me when I was younger, 3 times in 25 years. Wow. He's got no interest. He's got the fake knee now, and
he's got these radio commercials for orthotics now.
Oh, so yeah, he loves his Kintec, that's for sure.
You know what? Apparently, every member of the family has them.
Oh, hey, I'm not saying no to anything, especially like I'm a lot younger, but hey, I've had quite a few surgeries myself. I need any help I can get.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Lennon, we've Hugh McLarty's our producer. We've had, I think this is episode 36. Is that right, Huey? Episode 36? You can jump in anytime, Huey.
I wanted to confirm first. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 36.
Yeah, as episode 36.
As you come running back to the computer pretending you're working.
I'm always working, Lane. Yeah, yeah.
So this has been a real joy to do. I got to tell you, when we came up with the idea to do this and started in the summertime, I was wondering if it would work, and I think it's worked. I think we got a pretty good following in British Columbia on the Lower Mainland, and it's probably all due to you and the fact that you're connected a lot closer to the hockey club than I am. So I want you to know this is greatly appreciated, and have a happy Christmas, a Merry Christmas, and enjoy your birthday for your son tomorrow. And we'll talk to you next week when hockey's back on.
Yeah, no, this has been a ton of fun. And just like you, I didn't know what to expect coming into it, but it's been awesome getting to talk to so many people from the organization and have this to look forward to a couple times a week. So it's been a ton of fun. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll keep bringing as much as we can in the new year. And have a great holidays, everyone.
That's Lennon Farrar. I'm John Shannon. I'll be back after this on this edition of 100% Canucks.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Well, you know what? You know, Lennon Farrar wasn't supposed to be part of this part of the podcast, but then during the commercial break, he buried the lead because he actually has a picture of his son, Luca, in his skates, right?
I do, of course. I mean, I'm a proud parent. You get right, the phone out immediately.
Let's see it.
That's little Luca right there.
Oh, man. You're right about the ankles.
Yeah, they're holding pretty good. And then actually, as I say that, the best part was when he demanded that his helmet went on as well. Oh. So then we got to this.
So now I noticed there's not much of a curve on that stick. Have you decided what he's going to be, a left hand or a right hand? What are you going to do?
So he's a righty.
Well, can you make it? Do you want him to be a righty?
I just wanted him to hold the stick any direction he was going to hold it. But he holds it that, like, he's a righty 100%. But because he's now two and he's got a mind of his own, he only uses that stick and it's a lefty curve.
Well, maybe he's onto something new.
I mean, maybe he sees Atu Ratu taking faceoffs.
Yeah.
And he flips the stick around.
How good was Ratu the last time he went? I think he went eight for nine.
He's on fire with it, and yeah, man, like, he works at it. But like, that's a young guy that gets that he has a gift that'll keep him in the lineup, and he stays on top of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe young Luca Ferraro will be doing that one day. Although I think if you're smart, he has to be a defenseman, not a forward.
No, if I'm smart, I switch that hockey stick to a golf club and life's a way different story.
A long time ago, my son decided he wanted to be a goaltender. So,
yeah.
And I had to live that for a while.
Yeah, that's every parent's worst nightmare right there.
I actually loved it. I really did. I had a great time. So, but you know, he was a goalie, and you know, even what he does now, he acts like a goalie. So, all right, folks, thanks for listening or watching this edition of 100% Canucks. Merry Christmas.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com.
Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.